Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
It's time for us to move on to our next segment. As you know, at lunchtime, we get into a grow model or growth model. The whole idea is that you should have a moment of development during your lunch hour. Still with the Steps to Christ text penned by Ellen Gold White. And today we're talking about confession, the healing power of acknowledging sin. Wonder if that is confession. Confession has a lot of ways in which it has been done. The Catholic Church is doing it in a different way. The Muslim world is doing it in a different way. And in Christianity, it seems more elusive with the passage of time. But confessing sin isn't about informing God, because he was there when you were sinning, right? He already knows what you did, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. So when you're confessing sin, it's not informing God of anything he does not know. What then is it? Instead of informing God, we're told confession is about healing, humility, and restoration. Now, me being a journalist, I'm thinking of all these three words, nice adjectives, but what exactly do they mean? Many people struggle with confession because it requires vulnerability. And yet many people claim they are being vulnerable, but fail to do the one thing that would demonstrate that vulnerability. And that's why we're reading Steps to Christ today. Steps to Christ highlights that an honest confession made in faith brings peace to the soul. Your soul first, before we talk about the person you're confessing to. But why do some people confess the same sins repeatedly without finding freedom from the bondage of that particular sin? What makes confession truly effective? To help us understand this concept of confession and the healing power of acknowledging your sin, we do have once again Dr. Bodney Molosiwa joining us on the line. Doctor, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Naye. Once again, I'm grateful to be with you guys, and let's see what we get out of this.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Let's get into it. Why is confession necessary, really? I mean, aren't sins committed in secret meant to be kept in secret? Why should we confess something we're bringing into the public domain now? I thought we're supposed to keep it secret between God and I. Why is confession necessary if God already knows our sin, even?
All right. Let's understand that confession is about, it's essentially a period of discussion with God about what had transpired. That is the sin that has been committed. Now, the question that you asked is quite relevant to say, but if God is omniscient, that is, he's all-knowing, then why does he need to be, quote-unquote, informed of the things that he already knows? Now, the key issue with confession is for us to appreciate that confession is not made to let God know of what has happened, but it is meant for you to learn from what you have done. And what is the greater way of expressing it than to say? Now, when we understand what has been happening throughout the week, we have been talking about God's love for us, our need for Christ, and also repentance. Now, when it comes to confession, you actually come to God, which requires humility. It requires the appreciation that God has been hurt. And now you say it yourself out. So it actually has a greater, it is meant to create a greater good in you, not necessarily that you are going to tell God that you have sinned, because that one he already knows.
Okay. So what does Steps to Christ say about true confession versus false confession?
All right. Let me start by giving you this scenario. Have you ever been in a situation where, let's say, someone has wronged one person and then they go to that person and say, I know I hurt you, but if you had not done that, I wouldn't have done this. It's like now they are apologizing, but not quite. because there is a but, there is an if, there's something that comes after that. Now we confess, not necessarily for us to absorb ourselves of the responsibility that has to come, but the moment we try to explain even further what has happened, then it shows that that cannot satisfy the demands of what a true confession is. There's something that is mentioned in Steps to Christ to define what true confession is, and I would like to share that with us. It says true confession is always of a specific character and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that should be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them, right? And it goes on to say it will not be acceptable without sincere repentance and reformation. Now, that is true confession. It is God, it is us going to God with the purposes of growing from the mistakes that we have committed. They should not be ifs, buts, and ors. It should be strictly what you have done, and you acknowledge that it is wrong and you are willing to grow from it. If there is no willingness to grow, then confession is just another song.
So after people have confessed, or at least what they perceive to be true confession, they should be free from said sin. But why do people sometimes struggle with the same sins, even after confession? Why?
Yeah. The truth of the question, it actually hits to the core to say, why are Christians included in the number of people who commit the same sins over and over again? I think one of the things that we need to remember really is habitual sins. People end up going back to the sin that they've committed because it is something that they've been doing over and over and over again. Yeah, and the sheer fact that that sin has been committed again doesn't mean that that person's confession was actually wrong. It's just that they've been in a phase where it's easier for them to commit that thing because now it has become a habit. And then the other thing would be the temptation being left where it is and it is not taken away. Let me give an example of cohabitation, which leads to fornication. Chances that fornication will happen again if the cohabitation continues are quite high. And then the other one is where it's a confession, but it is not true. That is, like, it's a false confession. Someone would go back to what they had done simply because they felt guilty and they told God, hoping that they will get away with it. And then, or due to fear of consequences, like you are confessing so that you don't get the consequences.
Right.
Like a thief would say, I'm sorry, I got caught.
Yes.
Now the problem is not that you are sorry, but rather that you got caught.
Right.
So if the confession is false, then chances that you keep confessing for the same thing over and over again won't really help.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about our relationship with God. How does confession help restore our relationship with God?
So confession, when we begin, and I think you mentioned that in the introduction, confession is not meant to build in God anything, really. It's meant to build in us something. And that something is, one, humility. You humble yourself and come before God and come clean with God. That, God, I know you know my heart. I've gone through understanding that you care and that I need you, and I've repented, and I'm here to say, here, getting it from me, that I'm really sorry for what I've done, and this is what I've done. Now, that humility creates in you to notice that you are not beyond the point where you can be you could be humbled. Now you bring yourself down to say, I understand and appreciate that is what has happened. Number two, it makes it that creates in you an opportunity for you to see Christ and his merits and how they are necessary to pull you out of the sin that you find yourself. So really, when it comes to the relationship with God, confession is meant to create in us the need that we have for God as we go towards, go on in this step of these steps of salvation.
Yeah. Okay, parting shot. What role does accountability play in confession and spiritual growth?
If there's anything that we lack, maybe in Christendom nowadays, it's accountability. If just a couple of minutes, we actually spoke about the necessity of us being able to say the wrong that we have done without any further explanation to why we ended up in sin. Mm. And that is accountability, where I say, I'm sorry I got involved with drugs. I don't go on to say, but I was with Naye, and Naye is the one who actually bought the drugs and I ended up using the drugs.
Yes.
It says, I had an opportunity to choose right.
Right.
But I didn't. Yeah. So confession requires, it's actually a prerequisite to confession.
Okay.
Understand that I've done wrong. I have had God from committing this particular sin. And I'm coming to God because I hate him. I'm going to my friend because I've hurt him. And that is just the situation as it is.
Okay.
Now, once I accept, I open a new door, a door that says, now that I'm accountable for it, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to step out of the situation and to fix where I can and to become a better man. That is growth. That is growth.
Okay. I hear you. Got it. Loud and clear. Once again, Dr. Bart Nimolosua, thank you very much for your time, your insights. We're doing it once again tomorrow. One more time tomorrow. Until then, have a wonderful day, Doctor.
You're welcome. And thanks, Naye.
Thank you very much, sir. Dr. Bart Nimolosua is our guest for our Grow Model, teaching us our ways through the Steps to Christ text penned down by Ellen G. White.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.